just a second. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer, and we have several very important prayer matters. But before we do that, let me discharge my usual duty as minister of announcements. Folks, I'm not going to do this all the time. We just happen to have this week a number of things we need to keep before you. Remember, on Saturday at 9 a.m., Ledford Center, the Christians, the true believers, the really born-again folks from among the professors and students will be going out door-to-door in our community to present the gospel to everybody and to invite them to our second annual Sandy Creek Week beginning the next week, Tuesday morning, Tuesday night, Wednesday morning, Wednesday night, Thursday morning, Thursday night, with that unknown evangelist, Junior Hill. And so that's for those that are truly believers. For those of you who are apostate, do not come to the 9 o'clock meeting in Ledford to go out and present the gospel, all right? Then, at 7 p.m. on Monday evening, right here in Binkley Chapel, there'll be a prayer meeting, important time there also. Richard Fitzgerald from the Raleigh Rescue Mission will be in Ledford Center. I'm sorry, I forgot to put down when this is. What date is that, Steve? Where are you? Huh? Tomorrow morning, thank you. Tomorrow morning from 9 o'clock to 2 in the afternoon, Richard Fitzgerald of the Raleigh Rescue Mission will be there to tell you about the work of the Rescue Mission here in town and how you could be a part of that. Folks, a great place to preach. That's where I began my preaching ministry. I'm so thankful to the Lord for the opportunity to serve in a capacity like that. Be a good one for you to do also. Don't forget that those of you who want to be look into the program, the MDiv with Church Planting Program, there'll be an information meeting about that 10 a.m. Friday in the Hall of the Presidents. Students take advantage of that, and then the Foreign Mission Board personnel will be here on Monday at 7 p.m. in Binkley 101 to talk with those of you who are interested in going to the foreign mission field. Also, I need accommodations. We have a group of lay people and pastors, believe it or not, coming in on October 24th to spend a few days among us. There are about 10 to 12 of them coming in to paint our married student housing, and to get a start on it anyway. And these are volunteers doing this because they know we are as poor as Job's turkey, and Mayor Fetzer, who's up here on the platform, hadn't raised any money for us yet to do this. And so in his apparent failure in that situation, we've got volunteers coming in to do that. And we need to help these folks out. And so professors particularly, if you have a place to put somebody up in your home, and even students, you have a place where you can put them up and you can sleep out on the porch at night, that'll be great. And so let us know if you can house some people for a few days there while they do the painting. Now we have a couple of prayer requests before we go to the Lord in prayer. First, I have not heard a report today about Pete and Vicki Shim's baby, but Karis went back to the hospital yesterday evening, and evidently some problems developing there. And most of you are familiar with that situation. Let's pray especially for little Karis, as well as the Shims, who've been through a great deal. And then two other of our students, Darren and Paula Powers, today, their little girl, Brooke, who was born yesterday, has developed serious problems, possibly a problem with the water on the brain and swelling. Could be very, very serious, as you know. And they have asked that we pray for them, and certainly a very traumatic time, and we'll want to pray and ask God's blessings upon them. And then we also want to ask God's blessings upon our revival services coming up next week on Junior Hill as he comes, and all of those of us, let's just pray that God will work a miracle, first of all, in the president's heart. You can all pray for that, can't you? Amen. Yeah, okay. And then in your hearts, and then especially in the hearts of lost people who need to know the Lord. We are delighted to have Mayor Fetzer from Raleigh with us today. He's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful servant of the Lord who's an inspiration to me. I see you on TV all the time, late at night, Mr. Mayor, and you're always coming down on the right side of things. I like that, and I thank the Lord for you, and I pray for you regularly, and I just have an idea most of our students do also. We're glad to have you here. I want you to come and voice our prayer to God at this time, if you will.
Before I lead us in prayer, I would be bereft if I didn't take this opportunity to say a few things. First of all, this is and has always been a special place for me. My father attended this place as a student at Wake Forest College, 1944 through 1949, and he used to bring me up on the weekends, Dr. Patterson, and just kind of stroll around, and this place has always had a wonderful spirit to me. And I wouldn't have missed for the world Paul Pressler's appearance here today. Paul and I have known each other for about 7 years. We met in Dallas about 7 years ago last May, and and developed a warm friendship. And we don't see each other that often, but we correspond and through letters and prayers often. And I know that you, if you haven't heard him speak before, you will be truly, truly blessed today. I had a wonderful experience last night. I got an opportunity to meet 24 young people from the capital city of Belarusia, Minsk. That's a city of about 1 million people. And these are young Christian people who met the Lord, who found the Lord through a ministry based in Raleigh called New Life Ministries. And they are here for 7 weeks in discipleship training, children from ages 12 through 19. And they're going to go back and minister to their comrades in Minsk. And the amazing thing about these young people is they found the Lord through a ministry in a public school in Minsk. They had an altar call at a public school in Russia. And does that strike you as a little ironic that we here in the United States don't let people with Fellowship of Christian Athletes groups or student prayer groups or even faculty meet and pray in our public schools? And how we've so taken for granted this precious gift that after 70 years under communist dictatorship they have reawakened to? And I just want to challenge all of you as you continue your ministries to never let your flocks, your congregations, or your colleagues forget that the precious gift that we have to pursue religious freedom was paid with a dear price, and we should never forget that. And I just want to thank all of you for the beautiful spirit in this place that you bring to our community. I truly believe that our entire area, not just Wake Forest, North Carolina, is a better place because you're here. Join me in prayer. Father, Lord God Almighty, we lift up your name and praise your holy name and give you thanks for this place and the spirit found herein. Father, we just ask you to continue to bless this place, to continue to bless Dr. Patterson and the faculty and the students here, because they have great work to do in our country, in your world, in your kingdom. Father, so often in daily life when we open up the newspaper and we look at the news on television and we feel anxiety about the swirl of worldwide events that just seem to suck us into a vortex and encompass us and seem to be out of our control. And they are out of our control, Father, because they're in yours, because you have so comforted us with your words. We know because you have told us that you can count the hairs on our head and that a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without your aid. So surely, surely, if even these small, seemingly insignificant events do not escape your control, then the large ones are also in your hands. And we are comforted by that. And we ask you to remind us constantly that all we have to be concerned about is our faith in you and our love for you, and you will take care of the rest. You have told us that the scepter of the wicked shall not remain over the land allotted to the righteous. So all that falls to us is to remain righteous and to remain true to you, and you will take care of the rest. And we just thank you for those comforting words and ask you to strengthen our faith as we follow them. In the strong name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Easterling, a second-year MDiv student who's minister of music at Northside Baptist Church in Wilmington, is going to come and sing for us. And then I want you to listen today to one of my dearest friends in the whole world, Judge Paul Pressler. Judge Pressler and his wife here with us today. I think you've just come from a Foreign Mission Board meeting, haven't you? Foreign Mission Board's been meeting this week, same time our trustees were, and he's come down here today after the Foreign Mission Board meeting on which he serves to be with us. Sister Pressler, will you stand up out there? I want them to see you too, if you will. We're glad to have you with us today. This poor woman has put up with more than anybody I know, so pray for her. And I'm delighted today to be able to introduce to you Judge Paul Pressler. Now, you have read many, many things about this man, but the truth of the matter is that his critics will never see the day when they lead as many people to Jesus Christ as Paul Pressler has. I have literally had the experience of being in several other countries of the world where somebody would come up to me and said, "Do you know Judge Paul Pressler?" And I would say, "Yes, he's the man that got me in so much trouble." And they would say immediately, "He led me to the Lord in such and such a year when I was a student down at the University of Houston, or I was a student at the University of Texas in Austin, or I was a student involved in a Bible study." He used to have every week, one night a week, a huge Bible study just for college students in his home. And then added to that an enormous Bible study for businessmen. They were strictly for pagans. You pretty well had to admit you were a 21-carat pagan to be invited to it. And they would come, and across the weeks and the months, they would come to know the Lord. And what you hear about Judge Paul Pressler is this, that, and the other, but what I want to tell you is he's a great lay Bible teacher, has a fabulous Sunday school class that I've had the opportunity to address one time there at the First Baptist Church of Houston, where he attends and where he is on the diaconate, and where he teaches a large Sunday school class, and they wouldn't take anybody else as a teacher. In fact, nearly threw me out. Substituting for him is that I just couldn't come up to his stature, and I just admitted it and prayed for mercy. The fact of the matter is he's a gracious lay Bible teacher and preacher who has contributed enormously to the cause of evangelical orthodoxy, but far more important than that, he is a godly man who walks his talk and whose whole family is a living illustration of the consistency of his life and witness. And I'm so glad that he could be with us today so that you'll have the opportunity to say you've heard and know the real Judge Paul Pressler. After Brother Easterling sings, you listen with open heart and mind to my friend, Judge Paul Pressler.
I am most grateful for such a beautiful song, so wonderfully sung. One of my earliest memories is out on a ranch we have in Central Texas around the pump organ that my grandmother used to play and her singing that song. So you have certainly put me in the right spirit for talking with you today. I am very honored to have Mayor Tom Fetzer come to the meeting today. Tom Fetzer is one of the most genuine Christian people I have ever known. I am so glad that he has been elected mayor of Raleigh. I'm grateful for the job he's done, and we need to pray that 3 weeks from next Tuesday, his tribe will increase in public office around the country, and we need to work to that end. I'm so grateful that Tom Fetzer leads this in this area for good government and for the cause of Jesus Christ. I was a little bit overwhelmed with the introduction that Dr. Patterson gave me today, because Dr. Patterson is known not for being very kind always to the guest speakers that come here. I've been looking for the zinger all the way along, and I'm grateful it hasn't come yet and hope it doesn't. The only thing I was disappointed in is I understood that the speaker and the president rode horseback over to the chapel services here, and I was expecting to ride horseback, and I was just wonder why that practice was discontinued, but maybe I'll be able to find out about that a little bit more. I've been wondering why I was asked to speak in chapel here, and then I found out after I got here. Dr. Patterson has been trying every way he possibly could to get Dave Epling and Joe Glover to come to chapel. And finally, he accomplished it today for the first time this semester. I was walking over to chapel today and was with Scott Smith, and he was told him that I needed to apologize to him because the message I'm going to preach today, I preached one other time in my life, and Scott was there. But he said, you know, you just pass for an evangelist, because an evangelist doesn't have more than two or three messages that they repeat all the time. And so I come maybe as an evangelist to speak to you today. I want to speak to you on the 8 commandments. No, I'm not a politician who's leaving out some that start meddling instead of in his own personal affairs, but there are 8 commandments given in the book of Timothy. And we're going to be reading from the book of Timothy, the 2nd, 3rd, and 4th chapters. The Apostle Paul is writing to his young son in the faith, Timothy. The Apostle Paul is writing the last words that the Holy Spirit caused him to write. He knows that the executioner is waiting. And so he writes to his young son in the faith, Timothy, those things that should be priority as Timothy continues the ministry of the Apostle Paul. A week ago, I was standing on Mars Hill. A few days before that, I was in the amphitheater in Ephesus, where the Apostle Paul was prepared to give his great defense of the gospel. And it overwhelmed me as Nancy and two of our children and I were there to think of the sacrifice that the Apostle Paul had made for the proclamation of the gospel. And then here to Timothy, he pours out his heart. And I would like to give you, as young Christian leaders, the 8 commandments that Paul gives to his young son in the faith, Timothy. In the 2nd chapter, the 3rd verse, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." There's a hymn, "Am I a Soldier of the Cross? Am I a Follower of the Lamb?" And it goes on and says, "No, I must fight if I would live, if I would win. Increase my courage, Lord." The Christian faith is an activist faith. If an individual is going to be used of God, he must be trained. I spent 4 years in Navy ROTC and 2 years in the Navy. When my commanding officer told me that I had to be someplace, I did not say that I wanted to sleep late that morning. I did not say that I had another thing that I thought was more important. I did not say that it did not suit my fancy to drill that particular day or do that particular thing, because I was under the control of my commanding officer, and it was not a discussion of whether I followed him or not, but it was yes, sir. Now, if an earthly commanding officer is due that amount of respect, is due that amount of obedience, how much more the King of Kings and Lord of Lords is due the respect and the obedience that we should have as soldiers of Jesus Christ. We do not have the option of obeying Jesus Christ or not. We do not have the option of pleasing ourselves when we're called to do other things. We endure hardness. We are to be trained, we're to be equipped, we're to be obedient, we're to act like a soldier in the army of the Lord. The problem we have in the Church of God is that we're not marching along with 95% casualties because we haven't learned to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. That is the first commandment given here in this passage of God's Word. In the 10th verse, the scripture says, "Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal joy." We must endure all things in order that we might win people to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. May I use a couple of personal illustrations? Years ago, the telephone rang at 2:00 in the morning. It was a young man in our youth group, not saved at the time. And he said, "Paul, I'm stuck out here. I need help. I need to get home." So I slipped on my clothes over my pajamas and went out and picked Wayne up. And after I picked him up, I said to him, "Wayne, why didn't you call your father?" He said, "Call my father, he would have killed me." I didn't want to pick him up at 2:00 in the morning. But because he felt free to call on me that way, he came to know Jesus Christ as personal Savior. And he was a missionary in Japan for a number of years. And last week he called me. And he is getting ready to apply to our foreign mission board to go back in foreign missions. Now, what I did is nothing in comparison with what God has used Wayne to do. Let me give you another example. I had a Bible study down in Baytown, Texas, which was about 40 miles from where I lived. I went down once a week to meet with this group, and it was very trying on the family. I'd been practicing law and then tried to get away for that Bible study, but God told me I had to do it. And there was a young man there named Paul Seal, one of the most brilliant people I have ever known in my life. And as a result of that Bible study, Paul was one of the ones who came to know Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. He came from a very ritualistic background. But he came into a vital relationship with Jesus Christ. Yesterday, at the Foreign Mission Board, as our area directors were speaking, one of them talked about Paul and Dana, who's a medical missionary under our Southern Baptist Foreign Mission Board, who is now in teaching and using his medical skills there in Venezuela. And they talked about Paul walking out to an Indian tribe in the interior of Venezuela, where it takes 5 hours walking each way to get there, and how he's been ministering for a time there, and they have just planted their 5th church among these people, that none of whom knew the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior a short time ago. Now, it was very little for me to drive to Baytown to lead that Bible study, but I felt imposed upon to do it. But to think of one of the ones out of that Bible study who is now using his medical skills to open doors in Venezuela and going out to these Indian people that had never in history before heard the news that Jesus saves. 5 hours of hiking through difficult territory. And I could go on and tell other stories like this. We were in the Ukraine this summer in evangelistic meetings. And to see the sacrifice that some of our missionaries have made in that part of the world, away from the luxuries we have in this country, they're enduring hardness for the Lord Jesus Christ. And they're enduring all things for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the commandment we have, not to be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease. The third commandment in the 15th verse, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. When I was a freshman in college, I went to a school where all the professors called the students Mr. So-and-so, and you were very formal with the professor. And I'll never forget, I had one Christian professor in my 4 years at Princeton, and he wasn't in the religion department. I was in class one time early, and he came in. We were the only ones in the room, and he looked at me, and he said, Paul, don't you realize that doing your homework is part of your Christian testimony? He really zapped me, because I had forgotten the fact that in everything we're to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. And if I was sloppy in my homework, if I was sloppy in my performance, it was putting down my testimony for Jesus Christ. And we need to be diligent and we need to study. Last night, Nancy was looking over one of the information sheets of one of the new missionaries that we commissioned, 39 missionaries Tuesday night. Wonderful, wonderful, godly people. We have about 4,100 missionaries under our Southern Baptist Board now serving in all parts of the world, and God is blessing in an amazing way. And this student had taken 2 hours here at this school and 2 hours or 4 hours at the next one and a few more hours here. It was the biggest mishmash you've ever seen. And Nancy said, look at this, this is horrible. I said, well, I certainly hope it was before he came to know Jesus Christ as personal Savior. And it was. But you see, a Christian doesn't have the liberty of being sloppy in the way he does things. The Christian doesn't have the liberty of doing the things he enjoys when we need to prepare ourselves for service by understanding the way things function. And you are in an educational institution. You cannot get so involved in extracurricular activities that you do not prepare yourself intellectually and mentally for the challenges that you have before you. Part of your Christian witness is studying. But the main thing you study is the word of truth. And you need to do that here. You need to do it throughout your life, because if you do not study the word of truth, then you have nothing to proclaim. The fourth commandment. But shun profane, the 16th verse, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. My friends, we have too much vain and profane talk even among believers. We joke about those things that should be sacred. We make fun of those things that should not be made fun of, and they increase unto more ungodliness. Now, the Pacific example is given in the following words of theological deviation, and that is wrong, and we must shun everything that is theologically divergent. But we also, as believers in Jesus Christ, being equipped for the battle against Satan and his minions, we must stay away from those things that are not honoring to the Lord Jesus Christ. 22nd verse, flee also youthful lusts. My friends, it is so distressing to see individuals that are on the ash heap of utility for the Lord Jesus Christ, because they'll throw away everything for momentary pleasure. Flee youthful lusts. The two things that get more preachers into trouble than anything else are sexual misconduct and the love of money and greed of money. My friends, you cannot allow yourself to be tempted in either of these areas. Never handle finances yourself at the church. Have a treasurer who does it. and have accountability there so you can never be accused of malfeasance. You can never counsel with a lady with your door shut. It doesn't look right. And you can never get yourself in a position where you begin to compromise. The sin does not come full-blown. It begins with little things and moves on to larger things. The Word of God says that there is no temptation given you except that which is common to man, but God, who is faithful, will not allow you to be tempted above that which ye are able, but will with the temptation give you a way of escape that ye may be able to bear it. My friends, the way of escape is not at the last minute. The way of escape is at the inception. And if you have the right attitude and the right discipline, enduring the right hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, you will not get yourself into a situation where you can compromise and throw away all that God has given you for momentary pleasure. Flee youthful lusts. And in the 23rd verse, foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do engender strife. You're in a theological institution, and I know it's a lot of fun to discuss weighty theological questions, and that's good among believers. And it's fun among believers if it's done in the right way. But let me be very serious with you. Most people do not care about how many angels can stand on the head of a pin. People are out there hurting, and they need the answers to life, and they need the answers to real questions that are confronting them. Don't get so tied up in Calvinism or Arminianism or charismatic movement or non-charismatic movement or anything like that you forget that Jesus saves and the blood of Jesus Christ is the only answer to the sin problem. We have one message to proclaim, one person to proclaim, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ and the fact he died on the cross to pay the price for our sins. There is no other message that we have, and anytime we get into side streets, we destroy the effectiveness of our message. And then we have in the 5th verse of the 3rd chapter, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. My friends, we are not here to wish nice people nice things on their way to hell. We are not here to have nice churches that have good socials, that have good activities to keep people off the streets. We're not here just to have aid to people that need to eat. We aren't here just to have aid to individuals that need outside activities. Yes, all of these are right, and all of these are things that should be done, but they should be means and not ends, because the end is give the person the bread of life so that he will never hunger again. And if we merely have the form of godliness, have a type of religiosity, but we do not have deep spirituality and a deep desire to win people to Jesus Christ, then we're not doing things correctly. The 8th commandment, in the 4th verse, in the 4th chapter, the 2nd verse, preach the word. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ to judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. My friends, I'm a layman. And I know lots of you are brilliant, and there are lots of brilliant pastors in the world. I know there are lots of people that are well-trained theologically. I know there are people that are very concerned about fine points of theology. I know that there are lots of people that are very well versed in philosophy. But my friends, when I sit there in the pew, I'm not interested in knowing how smart you are or how much you've learned. I'm interested in knowing how wonderful Jesus is. When I was a young man in college, I was going to preach in a church, and an older Christian friend of mine looked me in the eye and he said, Paul, when you stand in the pulpit tonight, you can do one of two things. You can either show them that Jesus Christ is wonderful or that Paul Pressler is a reasonably intelligent young man. you cannot do both. My friends, when you have a preacher that's trying to glorify himself by the use of big words and big stories about himself, you have a preacher that's not winning souls to Jesus Christ. We have one message to proclaim, and that is the Word of God. We need to expound the Word of God. We need to believe the Word of God. We need to teach the Word of God. We need to show people in the Word of God the perfection that God has given to us in Christ Jesus and in His revelation. We need to preach the Word. And that's what we're here for. Let me review the 8 commandments. Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Endure all things for the elect's sake. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Shun profane and vain babblings. Flee youthful lusts. Avoid foolish and unlearned questions. Turn away from those who have merely a form of godliness and preach the word. We have a wonderful Savior to exalt. We have a wonderful message to proclaim. And we have a world that is hurting, a world that is dying, a world that is needy, people who are hurt and confused. Endure hardness. Preach the word.
Judge Presser will be here at the front in just a moment. You have an opportunity to come by and shake hands with a man who has done as much as anybody I know to correct the course of a denomination adrift. I am very much aware and cognizant that not everybody in the world sees things like Judge and I do. Many people don't feel that we did the right thing, and hey, it's a free world and a free denomination. You're welcome to feel that way. But if you do feel like there was a correction needed and that what we have seen has been the hand of God, then much of it that has been accomplished, a very great deal has been through this man, Judge Paul Pressler. He's a man that has sold himself out to the Lord. Now, I got to tell you the truth. When we first began what we tried to do, beginning in 1979, I did not believe that we had a chance. Frankly, oh, you of little faith. Judge Presser, not being a preacher, wasn't bothered by that. He had faith in God. And he said from the outset, no, God's going to bless this, and it's going to happen, and it's going to work. And it was a full 5 years before I ever believed it might even begin to possibly think about thinking that it would work and that it would come to pass. And all that time, Judge Presser just kept saying, yep, God's going to bless and going to give the reformation for which we pray. And so you have an opportunity to meet him today. I hope you will come by and say a word to him. If you appreciate him, you thank God for him. Believe me, he's heard from those that don't appreciate him. I can testify to you, I know that for a fact. If you love him and appreciate him, thank God for what he's done, you come tell him so, would you? And Mr. Mayor, we're so honored to have you here today. And I kind of want you to feel like this is your retreat center. We are for you 100%. And anytime that it gets tiresome down there in that old dirty city, and you get tired of those folks on your case all the time, you come out here to sweet, beautiful Wake Forest, and we'll just put our arms around you, and we'll make you belong here. And this will be your haven of rest, my brother, until God calls you home to a better one. And this will just be your heaven on earth. So you're welcome here anytime. We want you to feel like it's yours. We're glad to have you here today. Let's stand together for a closing prayer, and then we'll be dismissed to go to our classes. Heavenly Father, how we thank you today for Judge Presler and the very timely message that he's brought to us. And we, Lord, who have been called into the ministry on a church-related vocational basis, hear him today as a layman from the pew, saying to us something that we need to hear from the laity. Thank you, Lord, for this message, for the challenge of it. Thank you most of all for his life, for his sweetheart, for their precious family that you've given to them. And Lord, thank you for his willingness to do exactly what he talked about today and endure hardness as a good soldier of the cross and stay with the things that you put in his heart so long ago. Lord, bless him as he works on the Foreign Mission Board now and does so many other things for us. Lord, as we prepare for the revival next week, may there be a genuine outpouring of the Spirit of the Lord God on this place. In Jesus' holy name, we pray. Amen. Thank you, and you're dismissed.